Hello and welcome back to the Mixed Beatles Rap Review Podcast, joined today by none other than that of Tito and Trujillo. And today we are going to be going over the final two albums by prolific rapper Brockhampton. So Tito, what are you surprised by this? What was your thoughts kind of going into these last two albums here by that of Brockhampton?
Yeah, so I've been a big Brockhampton fan for a while. I actually saw the man himself live in concert with 100 Gecs. It was a ton of fun. But so I've been a fan for a while, and yeah, the expectations for a breakup album, an album that is terminating the band and is basically a dissection of what went wrong in the band. I mean, you can't have high expectations for something that comes out when the band doesn't have good chemistry.
Or honestly, expectations at all. Nowadays, it would be a lot more common to just say, hey, you know, we're over Twitter, like, no more, and then you don't hear from them again, basically.
So, oh, yeah.
Honestly, it is pretty commemorable. I do appreciate that they thought about the fans and wanted to put together something else for this last little outage. But yeah, that would end up being, firstly, the family. So, Tito, what were kind of your first thoughts here for the family that came out first?
Yeah, Trujillo. So, when the family first came out, I was super into it. There are a couple of songs on this thing that are super emotional for me. As being a big fan of the band in the past, just seeing the breakup that's gone on and what kind of came of the band is really sad to see. And so it initially was pretty moving for me, and I was pretty attached to it. And then I started to listen to more of the tracks and more. I listened to more of the tracks in the middle of the album, and I realized some of the flaws that this album has and some things that definitely could have been done better.
Yeah, one of my notes here,
what do you think about
from
that?
Back from the road to good time equals not that good of a time. And it was understandable that this maybe wasn't the most focused or like cohesive project that they had made. There was definitely a lot of things here that kind of felt like they were trying to experiment with, or like, oh yeah, you know, you can throw that beat down or whatever. It's our last album. Like, who really cares, you know?
Yeah.
With that being said, I do think that there were a lot of quality tracks on here and ones that were really interesting, especially considering the fact that it was pretty inventive, surprisingly. There was a lot of different production and different styles that they were working with here.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't sound like a lot of Brockhampton albums in the past. It's very different.
Yeah, and it was pretty interesting to hear that, especially with this being like their final album. Other than that, with the lyrical content, it was pretty to be expected, you know, kind of reflecting on like what went wrong, even debating like, you know, getting the band back together, and pretty like understandable things that were going on. But at the end of the day, there wasn't really anything too much that was getting me like really like, oh wow, you know, that's really interesting, or like a new perspective or things like that. But more or less kind of just what I expected for the most part.
Yeah, well, and that isn't really helped by the fact that this album is almost exclusively done by Kevin Abstract. There is basically no one else on this album, and so you get to hear a lot of his opinion on how the band broke up. But I feel like, in fact, in one of the tracks, I believe it's in one of the tracks in the middle of the album, The Family, Kevin Abstract talks about how he excluded another member of the band writing a verse on the song. And so you kind of get this feeling that there's this discontent and that this is just Kevin Abstract's version of what happened. And so I think if we had more of the band's perspective on what happened in the end, then it would be a lot more cohesive project.
Yeah. But it's understandable, especially understanding like rap groups nowadays and how it's so difficult to stay together with so many different creative minds. I'm not surprised that Kevin, kind of being the leader of it, quote unquote, for the most part, has kind of taken a lot of the lead on this, and they kind of just let him do what he wanted to do for the most part. And so at times it did sound like some of his solo work. But at the end of the day, just examining it for what it is and for the music, I think there were a lot of great moments, lot of really fun production, and especially the ending there, like, you know, kind of setting aside from the fact that it was mainly dominated by Kevin and his opinions, it was still really like emotional and reflective and had a lot of like really impactful things written on there that I think was really great for the fans as well. You know, it might have not been the most like diverse, like section of opinions, but it definitely was something that gave us a lot to think about, and you know, really sent it off on like a pretty good note, like especially considering like, you know, how bands like that might split up nowadays.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's just so tough to see a band that really like breaks up because of the same reason that all bands break up, which is the ego of the frontman, which Kevin Abstract goes into on one of the songs on this track. He talks about how his, you know, he said, man, I think this guy's better than me. I can't have that. like once you get that discontent, it breaks up the band. And that was a big theme on the album. I'd like to talk about a couple of the tracks that I think really missed a lot of their potential and that kind of felt unfinished to me. In the middle of the album, there's a run of tracks. It's Southside and Basement. Both of these are like a minute and a half long. Basement features a super gritty production of just like, I don't know. It's it's kind of like Kevin Abstract's just like, I hate all of you. I hate all of you fans. I hate all of you. And the production took him like 30 minutes, very obviously. Like, there's no polish. And I feel like that's the case with a couple of the tracks on this album, where they're super short, the ideas don't get fully formed, and they're not finished tracks at the end of the day.
Yeah, I definitely got a sense for a lot of them there. Like, there were some that were really fleshed out in, like, the idea, but maybe not the production, and some that were pretty, honestly, well-produced, but then kind of fell short after a random verse there or two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of the day, again, there were a couple good tracks. Ones I'd like to mention was 37th, a really fun reflective piece,
yeah,
as well as, obviously, the ending and Brockhampton itself, and the family. It's kind of interesting there, the ending of Brockhampton, the family being three of my favorite tracks on there. But yeah, any last opinions there before going into the rating for the family?
Yeah, I just think it's tough to see that. I think this could have been a really amazing ending album, because I think that Kevin Abstract's capable of making very good music, obviously, as in the past, and this had some of the ideas that were in some of his work that were in the past that worked super well, but I just don't think it was finished enough, and I think it falls short because of a couple of tracks. So,
yeah, I definitely agree. If this was finished, if this was still focused and still cohesive, I think mm-hmm. we could have seen, honestly, a pretty great rating here, especially because of some of, like, the reinventive production and, honestly, like, a crisper, like, lyrical delivery for most of the album there, depending on the topic too. But for what we have here for the family, I'm gonna be giving it a 6.2 out of 10.
Okay.
What about you, Tito?
I'm gonna give it a 5. I think it's an album that has a lot of great moments on it, but it can't hold itself together. Its ideas are too diverse and it can't really form into a cohesive project, and I think that may be a function of just where the band was at and where Kevin Abstract was at. At a point, you just can't continue to make music with a group that doesn't work together anymore, so.
For sure. All right. And then we'll have a quick break and be back with you for TM.
And Tito and Trujillo are back, and we are reviewing the final Brockhampton album, TM. Now, I was initially very surprised that this was going to be a double album, as I'm sure every Brockhampton fan was. It was, the family came out one day, a day later Brockhampton announced it on their Instagram, and we had TM, the banger group album that everyone wanted in the end.
Was that supposed to be sarcastic, or? I didn't even know.
I mean, it's what it could have been.
Yeah, okay.
It's what it could have been, and it's what people wanted it to be.
Okay, yeah. All right. So yeah, going into TM, initially I was kind of caught off guard, honestly. There was a lot of very different sounds going on. Even at the beginning, I got some glimpses of some like hyper-pop, kind of like almost Drain Gang influenced production and sound quality there. And it was honestly pretty interesting to see. I don't think it is what Brockhampton does the best, but I wouldn't have been mad if they maybe did this, again, more focused on an actual project. Again, coming from, like, the final album, I think it could have been a little more focused and cohesive again. But, you know, mm-hmm. that's how it is. Tracks like FMG and The Animal, or Animal and Listerine to start it off, particularly with Listerine, I didn't really love the chorus there. It sounded a little annoying to me at some times.
Yeah, for sure.
Towards the back half of this album, I did start to enjoy it more. The Man on the Moon was fun. It was all poppy, but again, didn't really feel too much like a Brockhampton or even a hip hop track, honestly. Not to like discredit the track itself, it was fun.
Yeah, I definitely liked it. I like the pop influences on it, and I think Brockhampton can do okay, kind of going in that lane a little bit.
Yeah, definitely a lot of their members, you know, we'll go into like what we think this could mean for like their solo work and stuff here in a minute, but would go more down like an R&B or like a pop realm that I think they could do pretty well in. But yeah, other than that, going with the rest of them, I think a couple of these sounded pretty like polished and focused and well thought out, and then a couple of these a little more sloppily put together. I think that's a testament also to how this album was created, as I believe some of these songs were made like back in 2020 from like the technical difficulties situation, as well as a couple of these just being finished up pretty soon, or I mean pretty recently more than likely. But at the end of the day, I think these had a lot of pretty decent tracks, a lot of fun here and there, and then a decent wrap up. The track run from Crucify Me, Duct Tapes, Always Something, and Goodbye was a pretty good send off to me. I think Goodbye
Really?
kind of left us, you know, not with like the most amazing like actual goodbye, and kind of like
I was gonna say,
a weird note.
compared to the ending track on The Family, which I thought was the best track on the album. Well, no, I don't think the track I'm thinking of is at the end. Hang on.
Brockhamptons.
Yes. No, I'm thinking of the track, the ending is like the best track on The Family, and the track after that is called Brockhampton. But the ending on TM, I feel like really leaves a lot to be desired. I feel like it's not a good send off from all of the members. You don't hear a lot of lyricism at all on it. It's just kind of a dud for me.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It was one that it sounded good at first, and I was like, oh, you know, this is a fun little last send off from the band here. But at the end of the day, after listening to TM, I was like, this doesn't really feel even like a final project or
No,
like a fan appreciation thing. It kind of just seemed like a lot of ideas that were thrown out there that never really got put together in a way, and they just wanted to kind of
yeah,
put it
well,
together and sell it out.
it's very easy to see that it's kind of just their back catalog from the last years, you know, different experimental songs that they're thinking of going in different directions, but yeah, it really does feel unfinished. That's the biggest weakness of this album. It doesn't have the crispest production. It doesn't have the best lyricism for sure. A lot of the tracks are pretty short on it. It just feels unfinished.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on the TM, on TM before we get into the final rating here?
I don't think so.
All right.
What do
For
you give it?
TM, for me personally, I think I will be going with a 5.5. It's pretty average, pretty decent, a lot of fun and pretty interesting moments, but at the end of the day, for a fully fleshed out album, just not really it for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 6.2. I liked it a little bit more than The Family, and I think that's because Brockhampton has a couple of tracks on here where they return to their roots more, where they have some better trap bangers. You know, the first couple tracks at the beginning and one or two in the middle are pretty decent. So I think that recovers for some of the unfinished production qualities that it has.
All right. Well, there, you just heard it there. Our final ratings for the final Brockhampton albums. Tito, what do you think this means for the future of like Brockhampton or some of like the artists? Do you see a lot of solo work in the future
LeBron's
or?
legacy? Yeah, I really do. I when these members were in their stride, they were in their stride so well. I was so excited to see what would happen after the Saturation albums, and even after Ginger, they still were very much on the up and up. And I think a lot of those members have a lot of individual talent. I mean, we've seen Kevin Abstract can put together, I think, a decent project. I liked his most recent album. And I think other members have great personalities that I would love to see more solo work from. I think Merlin can carry himself super well. I think, well, frankly, all the members, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun personality that would be really awesome to see kind of on their own, and like a lot more of their personal side getting shown, but also a ton of artistic talent, especially from people like Bareface and Joba and Matt Champion, that would be really awesome to see. So I do see a lot of potential success in their future, right? They will have the backing of a lot of the Brockhampton fans. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully some album reviews for them coming up in the future. But yeah, any last thoughts on Brockhampton there, Tito?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, with that being said, I did also want to introduce you guys to our new series that is coming up. This is going to be ranking the most underrated album from every year, starting from 1990 all the way up till whenever we get this done. So, I don't know, maybe 2023. And Tito, how did you start approaching this idea of the most underrated album? What are you looking for when you're thinking of an underrated album for a particular year?
Well, my criteria for it is I was trying to find something that people today would not list as an album from that year. Because every year has five or six albums that are classics from that year that everyone can name and that have had a lot of influence on hip-hop and that it were really good records. So my criteria is I'm trying to find an album that's outside of those five or six that you can name from a year that is, one, influential to modern hip-hop, and two, impressive for the time, and when it has good lyricism, good production, you know, the rest of what makes music good.
For sure. I definitely like that. I really like this idea, as it's something to really put a lot of music out there for hip-hop fans of young and old that might have not, like, remembered this or completely missed over some of these albums in particular. A lot of these times it's for, like, artists that I really like and enjoy, but maybe didn't get the success that they really deserved, like, at the time, right? And so it's not always what is not, like, necessarily mainstream appealed. Like, sometimes it could be a more, like, popular mainstream album. Sometimes it could be more underground. But just really something that I don't think a lot of people have heard of or really given the chance to that I'd like to put out there, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Nice. I like it.
Sounds great. Well, we'll be coming at you here pretty soon, starting with 1990, and then kind of just going year by year until we get up to the modern day. And of course, if our album reviews and everything else that we got in there going in between that as well. Looks like we got a Metro Boomin album coming up, maybe some Meek Mill, and some other interesting things to wrap up this year. So yeah, any last words before we send it off there, Tito?
Nah, I am super excited for this Meek Mill album. I've kind of developed an obsession with Philadelphia in the recent years, so I'm super excited to see what he has to come out with. But
all right. Catch you next time. This was Tito and Trujillo, Mixed Beatles. See ya.
All right.